By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabi Allah wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. MashaAllah. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to our early morning program, Rise and Shine. We are currently in our Bradford studios in the north of England. Today, inshallah, we're going to another, I wouldn't say unique topic, because I don't think we have such things as unique, very unique topics on Madri Channel, because we're constantly reminding each other of things that we should be doing, the commands of Allah. And I think, you know, there's probably very few topics that we've not covered. But inshallah, they're constant reminders so we can constantly better ourselves. But inshallah, a very interesting topic, a topic that we can all benefit from. But before we begin, we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We give you this with the intention that if you listen to this, and hopefully you become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak, secondly, you'll pass these blessings on to others as well, and hopefully other people can become habitual in reciting the Durood-e Pak, so that we can all benefit from the blessings. Today, we have a hadith of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in which the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, whoever recites salat upon me 100 times in the night and day of Friday, Allah azza wa jal will fulfill 100 of his needs, 70 of them in the hereafter, and 30 of them in the world. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, goes on to say, Allah azza wa jal will point an angel who will send that salah to me in my grave as gifts are presented to you. Undoubtedly, my knowledge after my apparent demise will remain the same as it is in my life. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Many blessings there in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you 100 times on the night and the day of Friday. Now, I just want to clarify something here for our viewers. When we talk about the night of Friday, the night of Friday is from Thursday at sunset, until Friday morning at sunrise. And then the day of Friday is Friday sunrise until Friday sunset. So Islamically, the night becomes before the day. So please send salutations upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we start this program every day, alhamdulillah, with a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak. But we also start it with probably the best possible way that we can start our day. And that is in listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's listen to the verses of the Holy Quran that we've got for you today. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru, jo nihayat meherban, rahim wala.
قَالُوا وَهُمْ فِيهَا يَخْتَصِمُونَ تَاللَّهِ إِن كُنَّا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ
کہیں گے اور وہ اس میں باہم جھگڑتے ہوں گے خدا کی قسم بے شک ہم کھلی گمراہی میں تھے
اِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَمَا أَضَلَّنَا إِلَّا الْمُجْرِمُونَ
جبکہ تمہیں رب العالمین کے برابر ٹھہراتے تھے اور ہمیں نہ بہکایا مگر مجرموں نے
فَمَا لَنَا مِن شَافِعِينَ وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيدٍ
تو اب ہمارا کوئی سفارشی نہیں اور نہ کوئی غم خار دوست
فَلَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
تو کسی طرح ہمیں پھر جانا ہوتا کہ ہم مسلمان ہوتے
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُم مُؤْمِنِينَ
بے شک اس میں ضرور نشانی ہے اور ان میں بہت ایمان والے نہ تھے
وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ
اور بے شک تمہارا رب وہی عزت والا مہربان ہے
كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ اذ قال لهم اخوهم نوح الا تتقون.
نوح کی قوم نے پیغمبروں کو جھٹلایا جبکہ ان سے ان کے ہم قوم نوح نے کہا کیا تم ڈرتے نہیں.
انی لکم رسول امین فاتقوا اللہ واطیعون.
بے شک میں تمہارے لیے اللہ کا بھیجا ہوا امین ہوں تو اللہ سے ڈرو اور میرا حکم مانو.
وما اسألکم علیہ من اجر ان اجری الا علی رب العالمین.
اور میں اس پر تم سے کچھ اجرت نہیں مانگتا میرا اجر تو اسی پر ہے جو سارے جہان کا رب ہے.
فاتقوا اللہ واطیعون
تو اللہ سے ڈرو اور میرا حکم مانو.
قالوا انؤمن لك واتبعك الارذلون.
بولے کیا ہم تم پر ایمان لے آئیں اور تمہارے ساتھ کمینے ہوئے ہیں.
قال وما علمي بما كانوا يعملون.
فرمایا مجھے کیا خبر ان کے کام کیا ہیں.
ان حسابهم الا على ربي لو تشعرون.
ان کا حساب تو میرے رب ہی پر ہے اگر تمہیں حس یعنی شعور ہو.
وما انا بطارد المؤمنين ان انا الا نذير مبين.
اور میں مسلمانوں کو دور کرنے والا نہیں میں تو نہیں مگر صاف ڈر سنانے والا.
قالوا لئن لم تنتهي يا نوح لتكونن من المرجومين.
بولے اے نوح اگر تم باز نہ آئے تو ضرور سنگسار کیے جاؤ گے.
قال رب ان قومی كذبون.
عرض کی اے میرے رب میری قوم نے مجھے جھٹلایا.
فافتح بيني وبينهم فتحا ونجني ومن معي من المؤمنين.
تو مجھ میں اور ان میں پورا فیصلہ کر دے اور مجھے اور میرے ساتھ والے مسلمانوں کو نجات دے.
فأنجيناه ومن معه في الفلك المشحون. ثم أغرقنا بعد الباقين.
تو ہم نے بچا لیا اسے اور اس کے ساتھ والوں کو بھری ہوئی کشتی میں پھر اس کے بعد ہم نے باقیوں کو ڈبو دیا.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ, you know when you listen to verses of the Quran, it's, you know, the very topics that are covered here. We're talking about, you know, when you're trading, that make sure that you weigh the correct amounts, you don't, you know, fiddle anybody, you don't misgive goods to people. And this is the beauty of the religion of Islam, that every aspect of our life is covered. Guidance is there for every single aspect, be it in the Quran, be it in the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, that is a guidance. The book of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our guidebook, is the way to live our lives. And today what we're going to talk about is another aspect of our life, is how we treat others as well, specifically how we treat our elders. Our deen, alhamdulillah, teaches us how to deal with our youngsters, how to deal with them, and the respect and the rights that they have. Yes, a lot of people think that our youngsters, our children, don't have rights, but they have rights upon us as well. Those that are younger in stature have rights upon us as well. They may not be as wealthy as we are, maybe not as powerful we are, maybe not as educated as we are, but they have rights as well. But today we're going to talk about our elders. And in elders, we also talk about not just those elders that are elder in age, but also elder in status as well. So be it our elders in age, be it our parents, be it our uncles, be it our elder siblings, be it our uncles and aunts, our grandparents, etc., etc. But also those in elders of status, our teachers, the scholars, our peer, our guides, our murshid, them sort of things. All of these, inshallah, we're going to cover them today in today's topic of how Islam has taught us the rights that they have upon us and how we should deal with them, how we should respect them, and how the status. And I think it's very important that we all understand our position in life. We all understand that, you know, I'm at this stage in my life, and this is my job to how I deal with these people. This is my job, how I deal with these people. And don't think to yourself that, well, okay, now that I'm at this stage, yeah, these people should give me this respect. These people, because I'm their elder now. Yeah, and so they should give me. We should never think like that. We should only think about ourselves and think to ourselves, okay, what is my responsibility? What is my duty? And if you look at the beauty of Islam is such that it promotes a healthy well-being in society, that people are given respect, people are given rights, people can live a comfortable, peaceful life. You know, and this is the beauty of Islam, that every aspect is covered, the guidance is there. Again, it's up to us to take that guidance. So before we actually delve into the topic, you know that at this time of the day, we also have the daily kalam, inshallah. So we're going to go to the kalam of the day, inshallah. When we come back, we're going to start with a few hadiths of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we'll get right into the topic. Let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu alal habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Taiba se lautna, kisi aashik se poochhiye. Taiba se lautna, kisi aashik se poochhiye. Aisa lage ki rooh badan se guzar gayi. Aisa lage ki rooh badan se guzar gayi.
Hum madine se Allah kyun aa gaye. Qalbe haira ki taski wahi reh gayi.
جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی جس جگہ سجدہ ریزی کی لذت ملی جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر وہ فلک رہ گیا وہ زمین رہ گئی فتح قریب جب ہوئے ہم رواسوئے کوئے حبیب پڑھ کے نصر من اللہ ف فتح قریب جب ہوئے ہم روا سوئے کوئے حبیب برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی بے بسی زندگی کی یہیں رہ گئی ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین سکونِ دل و جان و روح و نظر یاد آتے ہیں ہم کو وہ شام و سحر وہ سکونِ دل و جان و روح و نظر ایک کیفیت دل نشین رہ گئی دل وہیں رہ گیا جان وہیں رہ گئی خم اسی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی ہوتی بسر کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم لوٹ کر زندگانی وہیں کاش ہوتی بسر کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم کر اور پوری ہوئی ہر تمنا مگر اور پوری ہوئی ہر تمنا مگر یہ تمنا قلب حزین رہ گئی اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین وہیں رہ گئی دل وہیں رہ گیا جان وہیں رہ گئی خم اسی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ viewers on the channel I hope you enjoyed that kalam as much as we did here in the studio like I said viewers on the channel you're watching Rise and Shine and before the break we mentioned that today we're going to talk about our respect for our elders and our elders are not just our parents our elders are our elder siblings our elders are our teachers our elders are our uncles and aunts and everybody that's basically elder either in age or in certain cases in status as well because your teacher can be younger than you but it's still your teacher and obviously it has that respect that you should give to them with regards to treating our elders with respect there are also many many incidents that we can get information from and understand the true stature of our elders and the respect that they are due there are some hadiths that I want to share with you The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that show respect and reverence towards the elders, have mercy upon the young ones, and you will attain my company in paradise. Allah, Allah, Allah. So if you show the respect and reverence and status to the elders, and you have mercy on the young ones. You see, there's two parts to this. It's not just one part, that respect your elders, but don't show mercy to the youngsters. No, they are joined together. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to us that if you show respect and reverence towards your elders and mercy towards the young ones, Allahu Akbar, then you will attain my company. Whose company? The company of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in paradise. So again, a beautiful formula there that we need to adopt. And I think our viewers will also understand from that the importance of showing the respect and reverence to the elders, but at the same time, bearing in mind that we need to show mercy to the youngsters as well. In another hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, that I extend your gatherings. I make space for a scholar due to his knowledge, for an elderly person due to his age, and a ruler due to his status. So that when these people come into your gatherings, a scholar, an elderly person, or a ruler, then give them a bit of protocol, give them some status, make space for them. Yeah, these are the people that you need to respect and show. We are told that when they come to our gatherings, be it the fact that they're a scholar due to their knowledge, your elder due to the age, or a ruler due to the status, then make space for them. You know, give them some protocol, give them these special abilities. And I think, you know, we should do that in our households, that whenever an elder comes in, we should stand up and give them the space, give them your seat. Yeah, if a scholar comes in, give them your seat, get up and give them space. And you know, a lot of households, they do this. But you know, if you do these things, which alhamdulillah, a lot of households do this. We see that a lot of households, that when an elderly person comes in or when a scholar comes in, they'll give that person respect and they'll give it. But if you think to yourself that, look, I'm doing this because my Aka, my Lord, my guide, my ultimate role model told me to do this, you know, then inshallah, you are listening to the commands, the orders, your Nabi, your beloved one, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you'll get the reward as well. But if you are not doing this, then I advise you to do this, because as we were told earlier on, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to us, you know, to attain the company of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in paradise, first of all, you've got to get into paradise. And so getting into paradise has not been mentioned here. The fact that you will get into paradise, you will have my company if you give the respect and reverence to the elders, and the mercy to the youngsters as well. A beautiful incident I want to share with you, that is also, if you download a beautiful book of Amir al-Sunnah, that's called Oceanic Dome, and in the Urdu it's called Samundri Gumbad. This is a book that you can download completely free of charge from www.dawatislami.net. And Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, he writes in that booklet that Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami, rahmatullah ta'ala, that once during a very cold night, he said, my mother asked me to bring some water. So his mother asked him to bring some water, and he said, I went to bring the glass of water, but when I came to my mother's bed, she'd fallen asleep. And I didn't feel right to wake up my mother. So I stood there the whole night in the freezing cold, waiting for maybe my mother would wake up or open her eyes, and I would present the water to her. And during the night, what happened was that my hand kind of moved a little bit, and some water came out and dripped down the side, and because of the cold, the water actually turned to ice. And as a result of that, his finger got stuck to the cup. And in the morning when his mother woke up and he quickly presented the glass of water to his mother, when pulling his finger away from the glass, which had stuck to the glass because of the ice, and he stood there the whole night, his skin came away from his finger and blood started to come out of his blessed finger. And his mother, being the mother, obviously she saw that her son was now had blood coming out. She said, what has happened here? What has happened here? And Sayyidina Bastami, rahmatullah, he said that, oh mother, you know, I stayed up all night here. And he relayed the events to her, that in case you woke up in the middle of the night and as a result of this, my finger froze to the skin. He relayed the whole story to her, and she looked at her son and she said, my son, you know, I'm pleased with you. And she made a dua that to Allah, Ya Allah, I'm pleased with him. You also get pleased with him. So this is the dua of the mother, the heartfelt dua of the mother, that, oh Allah, I am pleased with my son. You also be pleased with him. My dear Islam brothers and viewers on the channel, how many of us can say that our parents are pleased with us? How many of us can put the hand on the heart and say, yeah, my mom and dad, they're happy with me? I think in the majority of cases, we'll not be able to do that. And so we need to ponder over why. What are we doing wrong that is causing that stress to our parents? And you know, another form of success in this dunya, you know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that woe unto him who reaches his parents reach an old age And through them, he doesn't attain paradise. Through them, by looking after them, by caring them, by giving them the love and the respect that they are due. And how many of us can say that, you know, their parents are happy with them? You know, the parents will love you. Unconditional love, they love you. And because you are their son, you are their daughter, they will love you. That's instilled inside them. And the people that are watching this program today, if you have children, you'll understand that you love your children. You'll almost have an unconditional love for your children. But at the same time, you know, as your children get older and you start to look at them and you say, well, you know, they're not making me happy, they disrespect me. Look at yourself. Are my parents happy with me? Have I made my parents happy with me? Would my parents ever lift their hands up, you know, whilst I'm still alive? Because when people pass away, then a lot of people will do the dua for you. But whilst you're alive, will your parents lift up their hands and say, Allah, I'm pleased with him, I'm pleased with her, or Allah, you also be pleased with them? And I think that's something that we need to ponder over and reflect and think to ourselves. That are our parents pleased with us? There is a beautiful ayat of the Quran, Surah Bani Israel, ayat number 23 and 24 that I want to relate to you, which tells us about the status of our elders and the respect that we need to give them. The translation is such, that treat your parents with goodness. If either of them or both of them reach old age in your presence, do not say uff to them and do not chide them and speak to them with respect and spread for them the arms of humility with tender heart and say, my Lord, have mercy on them both as they brought me up when I was a child. Allahu Akbar. A beautiful verse of the Holy Quran. I'm going to read out a tafsir with regards to this. It is stated in the tafsir of the above Quranic ayat that I mentioned to you, that along with the order of worship, Allah Azza wa Jal also ordered that parents be treated kindly. There is a wisdom behind this. The actual cause of the existence of human beings is that Allah Azza wa Jal has created them, whereas his parents are the apparent cause of his existence. This is the reason why Allah Azza wa Jal first ordered him to revere the actual cause of the existence, i.e. the creator, and then to revere the apparent cause, i.e. the parents. The blessed ayat implies that your Lord Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded you to behave kindly towards your parents because they also bestowed great favors upon you. Hence, it is obligatory upon you to treat your parents well. And the tafsir goes on to say, when your parents have grown weak and they have lost strength and health, as you were weak and powerless in your childhood, so do not even say uff to them. Uff meaning, at the time, it was a way of an expression of disgust, an expression of, oh, you know, nowadays a lot of children go, oh, this tut. Now, at that time, it was uff, 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 you know. That the, you know, the parents say, oh, can you do, oh, why, oh, so I'm like, oh. You know, these are any expression of disgust, any expression of disrespect, don't even say that to them. Don't even say that to them. And do not rebuke them. And talk to them gracefully, politely, and kindly. These are how we should treat our parents. That as they get older, you know, even when they get older, maybe, you know, a lot of elder people, then the senses start to become weak. The hearing starts to become weak. The sight becomes weak. The smell becomes weak. The taste becomes weak. The touch becomes weak. And at the same time, the mental capability becomes weak. Sometimes they don't understand things. Sometimes they don't remember things. And just because you know that your dad will forget it, you know, if I say something to my dad now, he'll forget it in 2 minutes. That doesn't give you an excuse to disrespect your parent. He's going to forget about it. What difference does it make? All right. It's okay. It's not okay. It's never okay to disrespect your parents, no matter what. No matter how ill they are, no matter what their mindset is, no matter what they're thinking. You know, a lot of people, and we've said it many, many times before, that a lot of people think, well, you know what? I'm living in the 21st century. My parents were born in the last century. Yeah. And they maybe come from a different place, a different country, a different lifestyle, a different situation. They do not understand my problems. They don't understand the modern day problems that we are facing. They don't understand all the situations that we have to face. They don't understand me. Yeah, my parents don't understand me. And you know, and that's why I don't respect them. That's why I don't know. Listen to this. Okay, I'll agree with you. Okay, your parents don't understand you. Okay, yeah, your parents are uneducated. Oh yes, your parents have come back from a different time, a different village, a different country, a different place. Completely, they don't understand your life. Fair enough. For the moment in time, I will agree with you. But remember this, that still does not give you any excuse to disrespect them. And, you know, someone said to me once, it was beautiful. He said to me that maybe you know more than your parents, but your parents have seen more than you. Obviously, they're older than you, at least 20 years older than you. They are 20 years older. They have had 20 years more life experience than you. They have seen more than you. You may know more than them. You may think you know more than them. Again, this is a question mark. Do we know more than them? But at the same time, they've seen more than us. And they have had that life experience. But even as we're told here, as they get to that, you know, age in their life where the senses start to become weak, it still does not give you any excuse to disrespect our parents. And we need to remember that, you know, as in parents, when they get older, when they get to that age, then they start to act like children. Sometimes, you know, when they get old, they become very edgy. You know, they become very, in the sense that they'll lose the temper very, very quickly. In the same way that you see a child, that is when you say to a child, oh, you can't have it, straight away they go into a tantrum, straight away they'll start crying, straight away, and all these things will happen. As they get older, then our elders sometimes become to act like children as well. They're very, very edgy. They're very, very emotional. They'll start crying at the smallest things, and the heart becomes weaker. They've not got the same strength that youth are with them. And at that time is when we need to show them compassion. That is the time where we need to console them and say to them, you know, it's okay, everything's okay. And you know, and then, you know, listen to them, give them time. You know that even, we've said it many times when we're talking about children, that the one thing our children need is our time. But our elders, you know, our children, they may need their time, but they also want the PC tablets as well. They also want the bikes as well. They want the mobile phones as well. They want all of these materialistic things as well. They want to be able to go out and to the park as well. They want to be able to go visit places as well. But when it comes to our elders, they don't want any of these things. They're not demanding of you a new laptop or a new PC tablet or a new mobile phone. They won't demand it. They just want your time. That's all they want. They want you to sit down with them, to talk to them. You know, and if you sit down with your parents, sit down with your elders, your grandparents, your uncles, your aunts, and you sit down with them, and you talk about old times. Can you remember this? Can you remember when that happened? Do you remember when he got married? And it'll bring a smile to them. They can think about them times, and they'll remember the good times. And you can, you know, this will bring that comfort inside them. I remember a personal experience I had, that my father, he was in probably the last stages of cancer. And at this stage, obviously, he was very edgy, and he wasn't willing to talk much. And my four cousins came, and they'd just come back from Pakistan. Yeah. And as soon as they sat down, you know, my dad said to them that, you know, Bete's sons, look, you know, forgive me if I don't talk today. I'm not feeling well. Yeah, I just don't feel right. And I had the blessed opportunity to press my father's head. And they said, it's okay, Uncle Joe, it's okay. And what they started to do, the four of them, they started to talk about the village that they had visited in Pakistan, which was the same village that my father had been brought up to. And within 10 to 15 minutes, my father's now part of the conversation. No, you're wrong. It wasn't that street. If you go down that street, and he's explaining things, and within 10, 15 minutes, he's part of the conversation. He's taking over the conversation. And I realized a huge change in him. And after half an hour, he said to me, you know what? You've charged my batteries up today. That's all he needed. He just needed that time. He just needed people to talk to them. And it's the same with all of our elders. They just need that time. They need people to sit down with them and give them that time. And I think that we don't do this. You know, I think our duty is, yeah, okay, it's my job to look after my dad. It's my job to look after my mum. My mother and father have got old. Okay, how do I look after them? Okay, I make sure that they eat. I make sure that they've got a roof over their head. That's it. No, that's not it. That's not it. You know, in today's society in the West, the authorities will provide that if need be. We don't even want to go down that route. That's a separate route that we don't want to talk about today. So they don't need that. They need your time. You know, they need the grandchildren around them. They need the children around them. They need them, you know, sitting, the grandchildren sitting on their laps to sit with them, you know, and that kind of love and affection that they need. And that's how the day will pass with them, with the children around them, the grandchildren around them, with you talking to them. You need to spend time with your parents. Give them that time. And what happens is we become engrossed in the dunya and we forget about that. And not only that, the zimmedars of Dawah Islam, the people that are actively working with Dawah Islam, again, they get engrossed in this work. They get engrossed in the work of Dawah Islam. And they realize that we're not giving the time to our parents that we should be doing, myself included. And we need to reflect on this. We need to ask ourselves, what am I doing wrong? Am I fulfilling the rights of my elders, the rights of my parents, the rights of my uncles and aunts? Am I fulfilling their rights? Because they have a right over us. And again, I'm not saying that your right is get your wallet out and give them £1,000. No. Go and give them time. Go and give them time. The greatest gift you can give to an elder nowadays is time. So please make a change. An intention that, you know, if we've not visited our parents recently, we've not given them time recently, we will go and visit them We'll go and sit down with them. We'll go and have a chat with them and talk to them. Now, sometimes what happens is your parents aren't very talkative. You know, some parents are very, very talkative. Some parents aren't. They don't want to talk a lot. Okay, just go there. Sit there. You okay? Okay. Everything okay? Okay. Do you need anything? No. And just sit there. Don't just like go at the door. Are you okay? Everything okay? Do you need anything? No. Sit there. Yeah. And sit there and just general talk. Oh, it's a bit warm today, isn't it? Yeah, it's okay. So, and if they just give you a one sentence answer, okay, so be it. But just give them that time. Go there and sit with them. You know, you do not know what's going through a person's mind. Not everybody's talkative. Not everybody wants to talk. But just sit there with them. Yeah, and give them that time. Here's some of the channel you're watching, Rise and Shine. And I pray to Allah so that we can all learn. You know, just on the topic of our parents, we could do a whole series of programs. You know, this is such a vast topic, respecting our parents, looking after our parents. And there are many, many ayahs of the Quran. There are many, many hadiths of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many, many parables of our pious predecessors that we can relate to and learn from. But just, you know, we've just given you a brief summary really today of respect of our parents. Inshallah, after the break, we're going to continue with the topic. Now we're going to have the reminder of the day. Let's go and see what the reminder of the day is and what we can learn today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he states, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fal yukrim jarahu." Whosoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the final day, then let him honor his neighbor. Honoring neighbors, be kind to them. Yes, protect their privacy. Don't backbite, don't spread words, falsehood about them. Maybe sharing their secrets, whatever it may be happening within their home. Of course, do not harm them. It's not just that though. It's helping them if they need any help. Sharing your food with them. Being a source of peace and happiness rather than a thorn in their side. Allahu Akbar. Islam teaches us that, yes, we must pray our salah. We must honor all of the laws of Islam. And part of those is taking care of your neighborhood, which of course begins with your very own neighbors. We must honor our neighbors. When was the last time you visited them? When was the last time you have shared a kind word with them? When was the last time you were there to comfort them? When was the last time you were there to even ask them, offer them some sort of help? We should always be there for our neighbors.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of the channel, that was the reminder of the day. And I hope we can benefit from that. Viewers of the channel, before the break and in today's topic, we're talking about respect of our elders. And we mentioned how one certain individual, Sayyidina Yazid Bastami, how he spent the whole night, you know, waiting for his mother to wake up with a glass of water. But there's also the opposite side as well, that this is a person that was respecting their parents. But there's also there's many parables that we can learn lessons from where people in the past have not respected their parents. It's narrated that once there was a farmer that was mad for his wife, so he decided in his heart to get rid of his mother. Because what happened was is he was living with his mother in the village, and they would often quarrel. And many a time his wife went to her paternal home, walking at the husband. But he would bring her back by flattering her. And the last time that this happened, she said to him that, look, either I or your mother will live in this home from now on. And obviously he was in love with his wife. And so he decided in his heart to get rid of his mother, which he thought was the only way that he could get out of the situation of frequently falling out with his wife. Therefore, using a pretext, he once took his mother to a sugarcane farm. And whilst cutting the sugarcane, he got the opportunity and turned upon his mother with his small axe drawn on her. So he took her there and he had the opportunity, raised the axe, and he was just about to use the axe on his mother when his mother saw this and she screamed. And what happened was the axe fell out of his hand and he started to sink inside the ground. Now his mother, she saw, she realized what her son was going to do to her, and she ran. She ran into the sugarcane, she ran towards the village, and she was screaming all the way. Now the sun, he was sinking into the earth. And he realized that I am sinking here. And he shouted for his mother, but his mother had gone such a distance now that she couldn't hear him. And he continued screaming and screaming until people gathered. And when people gathered and saw his situation there, but they couldn't help him. And eventually he just sank into the ground. And basically the ground engulfed him. And this is the punishment that he had in this dunya for actually contemplating, thinking about, you know, causing harm to his mother, killing his mother. And without a doubt, viewers of my channel, if anybody was to cause any physical harm to their parents, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish them in the hereafter and also punish them in this dunya as well. There was a story that I used to hear from my elders, and I mentioned it a few times on my channel before, that again, there was an individual that was living with his family, and his elder father was there. His father was in old age, and during the night, he'd be up coughing and sneezing and spurting. And, you know, he was disturbing the sleep. And one day, you know, through a discussion between the husband and wife, they decided to do something. And one day, the son said to his dad, "Dad, come on, I want to take you out." Now, the father was shocked because the son had never taken him out. And he said to his son, "Son, where are we going? You know, where are we going? Where do you want to take me?" "Let's go to the park, Dad. We've not been to the park for a long time." Now the father said to him that, "Son, you know my situation. I can't walk." So the son said, "Father, don't worry. I'll carry you." Now this obviously shocked the son even more that my son had never cared for him. He doesn't give me the time of day. And now all of a sudden, he's going to carry me on his shoulders. Allah, subhanAllah. So he carried the son on his shoulders and they went to the park and they wandered around the park. And in the middle of the park, there was a river. And there was a bridge that went over this river. And the son carried on walking with his dad on his shoulders. And when he came to the bridge of the river, he went onto the bridge. And when he got to the middle of the bridge, he looked at the river and lifted his father off, chucked him in the river. His father died and drowned. Fast forward 30 years, maybe 40 years. And now that same son, he's old. He's now old. He's now living with his son. He now also, during the night, struggles to sleep. He's coughing. And one day, his son says to him, "The son, that dad, come on, let's go out." Same situation. In the way that this person had treated his father, his son had treated him, never given him the time of day, never bothered to sit down with him. And he said to him, "Son, that, you know, where are we going?" And he said to him, "Come on, Dad, we'll go out. I'll take you out. Don't worry." And he said, "Well, I can't go out." "Don't worry, Dad, I'll carry you on my shoulders." So this time the son hadn't told him where they were going. "But don't worry, I'll carry you on my shoulders." So they went out. And lo and behold, the son was taking his father to the same park in which his father had thrown his grandfather into the river. And so they get in the park and he's got his father on his shoulders. And as they come to the bridge, the father, that same person who'd thrown his father into the river, said to his son, "My son, I know what you're going to do." And his son kind of like trembled internally. "Dad, what do you mean?" "I know what you're going to do," he said. He said, "What do you mean? How do you know what I'm going to do?" And he said to him that, "I know that when you get on this bridge, you're going to throw me in the river." Now this shocked the son that how does my father know this? Because this was his intention. And he says to him, "Dad, how did you know that that's what I was going to do?" And he said, "My son, many, many years ago, I came to the same park. I came to the same bridge and I threw my father in the river." Immediately the son realized that if I throw my father in the river, then that day will come when my son will throw me in the river as well. And he repented from his ways and he went home and he looked after his parents and respected them and did whatever he could to give them final years of his father's life, the best time of his life. So they say that what goes around comes around. The way that we treat our parents, that day will come where we will be old. And if we don't treat our parents properly, then that time will come where we won't be treated properly. If we swear at our parents, a time will come where our children will swear at us. If we abuse our parents, a time will come where our children will abuse us. Now, there's no guarantee in this. But if you look around you, it happens. It's a normal thing. And you also see in society that those people are blessed. Certain people are blessed. In this dunya, they are blessed. And when you look into it, you realize that, you know what? His mother stayed with him. His father stayed with him. He looked after his mother and father till their dying days. And that blessing of looking after them is why he's successful in this dunya. You see the people and you think to yourself, how is it that they've got this much money? They're not doing anything illegal. They've got a normal job. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them barakat in their wealth. Barakat in this dunya. Why? Because they pleased their parents. They looked after their parents. They respected their parents. And that barakat is there. That blessing is there. And so they have blessings in their livelihood. Whereas other people can earn more money, but things happen to them that they end up losing that money. They end up having to spend that money. And so, you know, you see, you look around you and you see those fortunate people that look after their parents. So again, we need to learn from this, that how do you want to treat your parents? How do you want to treat your elders? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of the father. The displeasure of Allah lies in the displeasure of the father. So if you want to please Allah, it lies in the pleasure of your father. And if you're displeasing, astaghfirullah, I pray that this is nobody that's watching this, but if we are displeasing our father, then we are displeasing Allah. So if you want the pleasure of Allah, please your father. Nobody wants the displeasure of Allah. But the question that we need to ask is, are we displeasing our father and ultimately displeasing Allah? In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, obedience to the father is the obedience to Allah azza wa jal. And disobedience to the father is disobedience to Allah azza wa jal. You know, you hear many hadiths about the mother, the fact that the below the feet of the mother is paradise, but the father has such a huge status as well. And here we are told, the obedience of the father is the obedience of Allah azza wa jal. Disobedience to the father is disobedience to Allah azza wa jal. So when it comes to being obedient to your father, as long as it doesn't go against Shariat, where your father says, don't fast, your father says, don't pray, the father says, don't pray the zakat, the father says, forget about Hajj. If he says these things, then you are allowed not to listen to. But in every other aspect, we have to obey and listen to our parents. And sometimes it can be very difficult, but we need to obey our parents. The obedience of Allah lies in the obedience of our father. The disobedience of Allah lies in the disobedience of our father. Another hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is reported to have said that the father is the middle door to paradise. It is up to you whether you protect it or it's up to you whether you lose it. So we need to look at this, you know, the importance of our obedience to our parents. Viewers of the channel, if a person displeases his elders, especially his parents, hurting their feelings, showing disrespect to them and treating them badly, so such a person becomes a great sinner and deserves torment in this world and in the hereafter. He's also not considered an honorable person in society. Those people that look after their parents, people respect them in society. But those people that don't look after their parents, don't look after their elders, they're not classed as honorable people in the society. So if you don't look after your parents, then that time will come where, you know, you'll be punished in this dunya and you'll be punished in the hereafter as well. Our relationship with our parents requires that we must also show respect towards our maternal grandmother, our maternal grandfather, our paternal grandmother and paternal grandfather. In fact, we should treat every aged person with respect. Islam attains great importance to the respect and honor of the elderly people. This is a unique quality and a feature of Islamic society. Islam does not allow anyone to turn out the elderly people, considering them to be a burden, and send them to any old people home. This is a distinguishing feature of Islam that it teaches and encourages the young people to show respect and reverence to the aged and to preserve their honor. In the past era, if any young person walked ahead of any old person, Allah Azza wa Jalla would make him sink into the ground due to disrespect. You know how many of us, when we going in our car, do we give the front seat to the elders? Do we, in our house, do we give the best seat to our elders? You're sitting on the sofa, chilling on the sofa, whilst your elders are having to sit on chairs. That's not the way. Give them the best place to sit. Give them the best seat in the car. Look after them. And you know, show that even you, we are told that in our deen, that even when you're walking with them, show them respect. Don't walk ahead of them and they're following you behind. Walk side by side or behind them. Allahu Akbar. You know, showing that respect to them. I remember someone was asked about you know, his father had passed away, and he was asked about his father's features, what he looked like. And he said to him, you know, I don't know what the eyes of my father, the color of the eyes of my father were. I don't know. And when he was asked why, he said, I never looked at my father in the eye. I used to look up, but I'd never, you know, stare at him. I'd never look at him in that detail. You know, I'd always show that respect to my parents. I'd always have that in front of him. How many of us can say this nowadays? We're looking at our parents and we're giving them, you know, we'll shout at them, we'll argue with them, and astaghfirullah, there's even instances, you know, it's hard to believe, but yes, it does happen where people are actually physically, yes, physically abusing and hitting their parents. You know, like they said, there was a time where if a person walked in front of his elder, Allah Azza wa Jalla will, you know, and cause that person to sink in the ground. Just think, if you are abusing your parents, disrespecting your parents, physically, emotionally disrespecting your parents, you know, if you're not punished in this dunya, you think to yourself what punishment you will get in the hereafter. It is stated in the narration, viewers on the channel, that the young person who reveres an elderly person due to his age, in exchange for this, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make anyone else respect to him. That Allah Azza wa Jalla will cause other people to respect that person because he is respecting elders as well. And we should show that respect to our elders and obey their orders immediately so that we can attain the respect in this world and save ourselves from disgrace. Our pious predecessors would advise their followers and admirers to show respect and reverence toward the elders. So elders, we're talking about here, not just about our parents, but we're talking about our grandparents, both sides, our paternal and maternal grandparents, our uncles, our aunts, on both sides, our elder siblings, show them respect as well. And there are many, many instances. And one such is that Sayyidina Yusuf bin Khalid Basri, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, a pupil of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Sayyidina Numan bin Sa'abit, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, sought permission to go to his city, Basra. Imam Azam, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, replied, stay for some days. Let me advise you about those important matters you have to deal with. So these were the important matters that he was being advised to deal with. He said to him, I want to advise you of these important matters, such as meeting people, recognizing the status of knowledgeable individuals, rectifying the nafs, taking care of people, establishing friendship with ordinary and extraordinary people, and being aware of the situations of the ordinary people that they face. When you leave after you have gained knowledge, you should also follow my advice, which will improve your knowledge and protect it from faults. When you enter Basra, people will greet you and they will come to see you. They will recognize your status that you rightfully deserve. You should also show respect and honor to them in view of their rank and their position. Show respect to the noble people, reverence to the knowledgeable people, veneration, honor and respect to the elders, and affection towards the younger ones. Allahu Akbar. Imam Abu Hanifa is giving this advice to his students that he wants to go to Basra, but before you go, this is what you need to know, that you need to understand how you treat people. That when you go there, people will recognize you as one of my students. They will give you the respect, they will give you the honor, but that doesn't mean to say that just because you have honor, that you have respect, that you shouldn't give others as well. So you may be an honorable person, you may be a respectful person, you may be a person of standing in the society, you may be, let's say, an MP or a politician or a wealthy person, a statesman, whatever you are. And people will respect you. Even if you are a scholar, people will respect you. All of these people will give you this respect. In this case, we have a scholar. We're talking about the student of Imam Abu Hanifa, that he's told you, yes, people will respect you, people will revere you, people will give you status. But remember this, that you also need to treat people fairly. You also need to respect those people in the society. You also need to treat the children with mercy. You need to respect the elders. You need to give the status to those scholars. You need to give the status to the rulers as well. So remember this, that when you go there, he said to him, yes, go. But make sure that you honor the status of all the people that are around you. And there's a great message there for us that we also need to understand that what our duty, what our position in society is, how we need to honor and respect people, what mercy to the youngers, you know, all these people, we need to know how to deal with them. Rather than think, well, you know what? I'm sitting here today. I'm the scholar. I'm the politician. I'm the wealthy person. Just come and respect me. And so whoever walks into the room, I don't have to stand up and give them salam. I don't have to give them a space. I don't have to give them anything because look at who I am. Nah, this is not our deen. Our deen teaches us that, okay, if Allah gives you respect, Allah can take that disrespect away from you as well. Allah is the one that gives you respect, and Allah is the one that can take that disrespect away from you. So put that to one side. Whatever society thinks of you. If they think bad of you, then you need to rectify yourself. But if they think good of you, then put that to one side and understand that your role in society is to give that respect, that status to those people that deserve it, and give that mercy to those people that deserve it as well. This is your role, your responsibility. And you know, in our life, we meet different people all day long. From the beginning of the day to the end of the day, you'll meet people that are younger than you. You'll meet people that are same age as you. You'll meet people that are older than you. You know, the technical team here, the camera, we're all of a similar age. You know, and you know, when we come here in the morning, we can talk about, we're on that same level. We've got that level of respect for each other. But if I go someone and there is an elder person, then I have to deal with them differently. If I go some of the people that are younger than me, I have to deal with them differently. But if you're people with, you know, similar age, similar status, then okay. But this is what I'm saying, that you need to understand this. You cannot sit on a pulpit and say, well, I am the best. I am the strongest. I am the most powerful. I am the most knowledgeable. I am the most wealthy. And so as a result of that, you have to listen to me. It doesn't work out like that. So we need to understand our role in society. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And at this time of the day, we have the hadith of the day. Let's go to the hadith of the day. And then inshallah, we'll come back to the topic and we'll continue with the topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
In this life of ours, we know that we have come from Allah and we are to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody will live eternally. Allah ta'ala is eternal. Allah Ta'ala is ever-living. We are humankind. We are a creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We have a fixed lifespan. And then we are to leave this dunya. When a loved one passes away, despite knowing that this was to occur, we still feel emotional because of our strong attachment to that person, because of our memories of that person, because of our relationship with that person. It may be a parent, a child, a sibling, an uncle, an aunt, a grandparent. But remember, even in such difficult moments, when we lose our loved ones, we must stick to patience, cling to patience. Listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, in my sight, the only reward for that person who remains patient when his loved one is separated from him, meaning the loved one's soul is extracted, the loved one passes away, and he remains patient, in my sight, the only reward for such a person is Jannah, is paradise. So what's the reward? Paradise. What do we have to do? Remain patient when our loved ones pass away. We are not to lament. We are not to wail. In fact, we are to instruct others to be patient as well. It's a very difficult time. Of course it is. But when we keep such narrations in mind, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us, will reunite us with our loved ones in Jannah, in paradise, inshallah.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers, Amal Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and today we're talking about the respect of elders. But respect for elders is not just the respect for our parents and our grandparents and our uncles as well, but it's also respect for the scholars as well. There was an incident that took place once where a person who was a known sinner, he was washing his hands and face sitting at a riverbank. So he was in the riverbank and he's washing his hands and face. And in the meantime, the great spiritual guide, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah ta'ala, he also arrived near there and sitting at a short distance, and he was also performing his ablution. And the person, he looked and he realized that the water that I'm washing myself with, after I've washed myself and the water goes into the river, then that water is then going towards this pious person. And so he thought to himself that, you know, my dirty water effectively is going towards him. And that person, when he passed away, someone saw him in a dream and said to him that, how has Allah Azza wa Jalla treated you? And he replied that because of the blessing of showing respect to Sayyidina Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla has forgiven me for all the sins that I have committed. Allah Akbar. Again, that respect that we need to show the elders. There's an Arabic saying, the translation is such that whatever a person has attained, is only due to the virtue of showing respect. And whatever a person has lost only due to the not showing respect. So whatever we gain in this dunya is through giving respect. And whatever we've lost in this dunya is through not giving respect. And it's very important that we learn this. There was an incident that took place where the gathering of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, that Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, he said to the Quraysh, he said to them, go to Masjid al-Nabi, there you will see people sitting with utmost respect and concentration as if birds are sitting on their heads. Learn that this is the gathering of Sayyidina Imam Abu Abdullah Hussein. Further, he commented, this gathering will be absolutely free from jokes and fun. Similarly, when anyone would ask any question to Sayyidina Sa'al bin Abdullah, Ramatullah Ta'ala, he would not reply. And once he, Ramatullah Ta'ala, suddenly sat leaning his back against the wall and said to the people, ask me today whatever you want. So the people used to come, he used to teach, but he would never answer questions. He would never ask the questions. And one day he's sitting there and he's leaning and he said, okay, ask me whatever you want today. And the people humbly said to him, what is the matter today? Why is it that in the past you've never answered questions, but now you're willing to answer questions? He said it was due to the respect of my teacher, Sayyidina Zanun Misri Rahmatullah Ta'ala. And I used to avoid answering the questions until whilst he was alive. Whilst he was alive, I would never answer questions. Now people were surprised to listen to this because as per their knowledge, Sayyidina Zanun Misri Rahmatullah Ta'ala was still alive. Anyway, upon this reply, the date and the time was recorded. People made a note of it. And they later found out that at that appropriate time, at that day, Sayyidina Zanun Misri Rahmatullah had passed away. So this scholar, he would never answer questions whilst his teacher was alive. Because he didn't feel that it was, how can I answer questions when my teacher is alive? How can I possibly do this? You know, this is the status that he had to. And so giving that status, that respect to our teachers is very, very important as well. And today we don't. Today we don't respect our teachers like they should be respected. Sayyidina Ala Hazrat, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, has said a lot of things about giving the status. And I want to read this out to you now. He says that a student should not precede the teacher in conversation. In his absence, he should not sit in his place. So you go into the classroom and the teacher, there's the desk, you shouldn't sit in his chair. That's his place. Don't sit there. Whilst walking, he should not walk ahead of him. When spending on his teacher, he should not show miserliness. It means that whatever the teacher requires, he should present it to him by all means. And when the teacher accepts it, his student should consider it as a favor and a privilege. I want to stop here with the chat. I remember once I was in Pakistan and I was traveling on the train there. And we were going to the Multan Ishtama. It used to be an annual Ishtama that used to take every place in Multan of Dawud Islam, the international Ishtama. But alhamdulillah, you know, Dawud Islam has expanded so much that it's just not feasible, just not practical to hold them Ishtamas anymore. And I was traveling from a place called Quetta. And those of you that may know the trains in possibly the Pak and the Hinsum continent, they're old. And these trains were basically, they were benches that are facing each other. So there's this bench that faces and this bench. So when you're sitting there, you're facing people in front of you. They're sitting on a bench and you're sitting on a bench. And then they have the sleepers above you. And what happened was, it was a long journey. I think it was going to be 19, 20 hours. So what we all decided to do, we all said that, look, you know, we'll just move a little bit to one side and let the person in front of you put the feet there so that they can stretch the feet and they can try and rest. Because obviously there's no space for everybody to sleep. But if you can straighten your legs, then you can, you know, get a bit of rest. So we all straightened our feet and, you know, racked back and tried to get a bit of rest. Now, the person that was next to me, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. So I said to him, you know, you need to get some rest as well. It's a long journey. You know, get some rest. No, I'm okay. I'll rest like this. Well, why are you going to rest like this? We've all agreed that it's okay. Let's do it. No, I'm not going to do it. And I kind of like pushed him and persisted a little bit, but he still wouldn't answer. And then one of the brothers opposite smiled. And he said, I'll explain to you why. And he said, why? He said, this person that's sitting opposite you and also opposite him is his teacher. And he doesn't want to put his feet next to his teacher like that out of respect. And I'll never forget that. I mean, I can't even remember how long ago that was. And that was the respect that he was showing to his teacher. That he doesn't even want to put his feet at the same level of his teacher. And he sit the whole journey sitting there in front of his teacher. And the whole journey was like this. And he slept like this. He sat like this out of respect of his teacher. Sayyidi Al-Hazrat, Rahmatullah, goes on to say that the right of the teacher should be given preference above the rights of all Muslims and parents. Even though if he has learned even a single word from his teacher, he should show humbleness before him. If the teacher is inside the house, he should not knock at the door, rather wait for him to come out. Students should not let any trouble cause to his teacher on his part, because if the teacher receives any trouble from any student, he remains deprived of the blessings of knowledge. My dear Islam brothers and viewers, our teacher is blessed with the status of a spiritual father. Therefore, students should seek knowledge from the teacher whilst keeping the respect of the teacher in view. It is stated in Tafsir Kabir that teacher is more affectionate to his students than his parents, because the parents protect him from the fire of the world and the troubles, whereas the teacher saves him from the hellfire and the calamities of the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Allah. This is the status of a teacher. I just want to pause here for a moment. Alhamdulillah, here in the UK, we have the establishment of Jamaatul Madinas. And these Jamaatul Madinas are those institutes where the future scholars are being created. It is a 6-year course for brothers and it is a 5-year course for sisters. We have a residential setup in Bradford, in Luton and in Birmingham. And obviously you'll get, if you come here and as a student, then you'll get the ability to not only acquire that sacred knowledge, you'll get the ability to spend time in the gatherings of these great teachers, but also inshallah, gain that knowledge where inshallah in the future that you will also be a teacher of the deen. You will also have the treasure chest of that knowledge in your heart that you can also become a teacher. So it's a golden opportunity. The fees, extra astronomical fees, very, very expensive, you know, very, very expensive. You need to get your pens and paper out now and make notes of all these fees that I'm going to tell you. And I'll give you a breakdown of all the fees. The admission fees are zero. The residential fees are zero. And the food that we provide is zero cost as well. So I hope that you've made a note of that cost and you've added it all up and worked out whether you can afford it as well. That Alhamdulillah, Dawah Islamiyah doesn't charge anything for our Jamaatul Madinah. No cost for the course, no course fees. Unlike here in the UK, if you go and do a degree, after 3 years, 4 years, you can be £40,000-£50,000 in debt. No fees whatsoever. If you stay in the residential, then you'll be given a room, a bed, and whatever is in that room, completely free of charge. Again, if you are going and getting a degree, then you have to get your own accommodation. We provide it completely free of charge. And at the same time, that the food that is provided, again, completely free of charge. And this is your Dawah Islamiyah. So at the same time, I make an appeal to those viewers that if they can try and convince people to come and join the Jamaatul Madinah or come yourself. And at the same time, I appeal to our general public that, you know, this is one of the departments of Dawah Islamiyah, that if we could, you know, donate in this cause of the Jamaatul Madinah in the UK, that your funds will go to create the scholars of the future. And if you create a scholar, or you are take part in the creation of a scholar, then inshallah that time will come where they will pass on the knowledge of the deen and you will benefit as well. So please, you know, consider this, that at this time the enrollment is taking place for Jamaatul Madinah, and you know, the people that understand the knowledge, the importance of the knowledge, then they will say to you that it's very important that we have at least one scholar in our household. You know, a lot of people say it's good if we have a doctor in our house. You know, if we've got a doctor, then life's a lot easier, that we can solve our medical problems. But their medical problems are, you know, based on this dunya. In the same way that, you know, we said earlier on that the parents will save you from the fire of this dunya, the teacher will save you from, the doctor will save you from the problems of this dunya. But if you have a scholar inside your household, they will save you from the problems and the fire of the hereafter as well. So if you can all make an intention to try and create a scholar in our household, and if we can't, then at least sponsor a scholar. Sponsor Dawah Islamiyah, pay the funds towards Jamaatul Madinah, and inshallah, you will definitely benefit from whatever funds you gave to Jamaatul Madinah, both in this dunya and the hereafter as well. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now, and inshallah, after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about how we need to treat our elder siblings with respect as well. I believe we have a little fund promo as well, inshallah. We're just going to go to this fund promo as well. Take note of the bank details. Like I mentioned earlier on, the bank details will be shown there. You know, if you can't record it, then take some screenshots with your phone of the bank details that come on the, and please support the noble cause of Dawah Islamiyah. I can talk for the next hours and hours and hours of the department of Dawah Islamiyah, but please just watch this short phone promo. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
For the madani works, whichever person helps Attar me.
Zakah plays a vital role in strengthening the brotherhood between Muslims, which enhances the collectivity in the Islamic society, and because of the mutual help, Muslims manifest the following great saying of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The example of mutual friendship, mercy and affection of Muslims is like a body. When any part of the body is not well, the entire body joins it in fever and sleeplessness. My dear viewers, when we know that one of our fellow Muslim brothers or sisters is in need of help, in particular wealth, it is our duty to help them by donating our zakat to them. It's a humble request to the viewers of Madani Channel to donate their zakat to Dawat Islami, a global non-political movement whose beautiful message of the Quran and Hadith has spread over the globe.
Dawat Islami UK Madani Channel. Sort code 309773. Account number 436-345-60. IBAN GB67LOYD 309-773-436-345-60. BIC LOYD GB21087.
Your donations can be utilized in any permissible, religious, reformative, welfare, spiritual, benevolent, charitable, and income-generating lawful and secure work so that the increasing expenses can be met.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and there was a little promo there, and the bank account details were for Madani Channel. So please support Dawat Islami in your causes. Give your zakat, your fitrah, your donations. And remember, Dawat Islami, when you are giving in the way of Allah. Viewers of the channel, the topic of the day is treating our elders. And before the break, we mentioned that we're going to talk a little bit now about our brother, how we treat our elder brother. Again, you know, it's amazing that every aspect of every relationship in our deen is explained. You know, you cannot come up with any certain relationship in your deen and the deen will tell you that, look, this is how you treat this person. Sayyidina Jarir bin Hazim, rahmatullah ta'ala, once said that I dreamt that my head is in my hands. He dreamt that my head is in my hands. And for the interpretation of this dream, I went to Sayyidina Imam Ibn Sirin, rahmatullah ta'ala, who was he had great expertise in dream interpretation. He inquired to me, he said that, any of your parents are alive? And I replied, no, none of my parents are alive. Then he said to me, do you have any elder brother? And I responded in the positive. And he said to me, fear Allah in this matter, treat him gracefully and do not cut off ties with him. Allah. That the elder brother's position is also parallel to the respect of the father. That in the position of your father is your elder brother. So even whilst your father is alive, your elder brother has that respect. And when your father passes away, then the elder brother has that respect that your elder father has. So again, it's something that we need to contemplate and realize that our parents, our elder siblings, have that respect. And this is what our deen teaches us. Our deen teaches us that the rights of those people that are younger than us and the rights of those people that are elder than us and the rights of our elder siblings as well, just because they're your siblings, I don't mean to say you don't have to respect them. And they're obviously, we mentioned here that your elder sibling should be respected, but there's also the responsibility of the elder sibling to give that respect to the youngest as well. And this is our responsibility if only we understand it. So Islam teaches us all this. And there are, like I said, there are many, many instances of the hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've only got 5 or 6 minutes, so I'm going to quickly run through some things that we need to try and learn. You know, sometimes your parents tell you things and you already know it. And instead, I know. Yeah, okay. I know about it. Sure, okay. You know, listen to them with attention. Make them feel that they're telling you something new. You may have heard it 100 times. You may have read it in the news. The whole world knows about it. But when your parents are telling you, it's as if you should be there as if they're telling you, you know, it's the first time you've heard it. That again is a way of showing respect. Instead of, I know. I've heard that story 100 times. And this is the other thing that happens. Sometimes our parents, they'll tell you something. Then they'll tell you again. Then they'll tell you again. Then they'll tell you again. Because they got to that age where they don't remember what they told you. And they might tell you, you know, certain stories of their youth, of their life. And you'll know the words of the story off by heart. But again, you know. Yeah, I know, Mom. I've heard it. Yeah, I know.
That's not how we should be. You know, they're telling you the same story.
I remember the story that I said earlier on about the person that threw his father in the bridge. My father told me that story maybe 100 times. And I would sit there.
Ji, Abaji. Ji, Dad. Ji. Cha. Cha.
Give them that attention. They need that attention. Instead of saying, you know what? I've heard that. You know, Dad, why do you keep on telling me that story? I've heard it 100 times. Is that all you're going to do? Tell me the same story time and time and time and time again? Now you ask me, how would you like... Not just your elders, if, for example, yourself, when you are with somebody, anybody, and they give you the news, and you've already heard that news, be that person an elder or younger, then give them that time.
And you see that sometimes Amir al-Sunnah has heard something from someone 100 times. But he hears it from the 101st person, he'll give them the same attention. And there's many instances where he's mentioned in the Madani Bazaar, because so many people tell me the same thing. And I have to give that person the satisfaction that he's the first person that's telling me. What difference does it make? That again is showing respect. And he's teaching us, Amir al-Sunnah is teaching us, that these are the people that are obviously younger than him, lower than him in status, but he still show them that respect. And that is something that we need to do. Quickly mentioning of hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before we come to the end of the program. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that he is not amongst us who does not have mercy on our young ones and does not respect our elders and does not know the rights of a Muslim. Does not know the rights. It's our duty to know the rights of a Muslim. And if we do not know the rights of a Muslim, then we are not amongst the Muslims. We need to know the rights. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said that show respect to the elders and mercy to the young ones. You and I will come on the day of judgment like this. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his fingers together. If you respect your elders and have mercy on the young ones, you and I will come on the day of judgment like this. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, viewers on the channel. You know, treating our relatives is again very important. Again, we fall out with our relatives. We don't give them time and we start arguing over land, over inheritance, over all sorts of things. And the whole family gets separated over a small parchment of land. That he built his wall should have been here, but he built it here and he stole this amount of land from me. Or he didn't consider my daughter when he got his son married. Or he didn't send me an invite to his wedding. Or he didn't do this or he didn't. And little things. You see people that relatives, brothers have fallen out with each other. They're not spoken to each other for 10 years, 15 years. And when you go back and you go to the source of it, oh, I didn't get an invite to that wedding. Or he didn't consider my son. So what? Still your relative, still your brother. And we're talking about relatives. We're talking about brothers falling out over this. Brothers and sisters falling out over this. And we shouldn't have that connection with our relatives. And we should make sure we stay with our relatives. And it is a command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 1, fear Allah, in whose name you claim your rights from one another. And be mindful of your blood relations. Indeed, Allah is always seeing you. Allah is always seeing you. Quickly run through that. What Sayyidina Faqih Abu Lahi Samarkandi said. He said, there are 10 virtues of treating relatives with kindness. 1, it brings about the pleasure of Allah. 2, it pleases people. 3, it delights angels. 4, it earns you praise from Muslims. 5, it upsets shaitan. 6, it increases your age. 7, it brings blessings and the sustenance. 8, it pleases the deceased forefathers, i.e. the Muslim father and grandfather. It fosters harmony in us. And 10, it increases reward after demise because people make dua for such a person. Views of the channel, I'm sorry, I've rushed it towards the end of the program. We're coming towards the end of the program, but we need to reflect and think. Whenever you watch a program on Mother's channel, whenever you listen to something, whenever you read something, think to yourself, what am I? Where am I? What am I doing? Is this affecting me? Am I prone to any of these problems? And then make an intention to make a change in yourself, reflect on yourself, make a change in yourself so that you can become a better person. Views of the channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. And until the next time, keep watching Mother's channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will